Hello and welcome into this edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I hope you're having a great day, wherever and whenever you may be listening to this podcast. Here in the lovely Southlands, just north of Birmingham, Alabama, it's getting bumpy. It's been windy. There are thunderstorms in the area, and we've had a power outage already. So fingers are crossed, and prayers are being prayed. We're hoping that we stay online for the entirety of the hour. Yeah, we'll do what we can. I really hope the power does not go down because, got to be honest with you, the equipment would not be happy if the power actually blinked out. Just saying. I'm just saying. It would not be a good thing for the power to go out because everything starts beeping and screeching and it just goes haywire in here and you have to make the rounds and shut everything down. And it's just not good for things to blink off and on and off and on in the world of electronics. That's just all I'm saying. Computers everywhere and power outages, they don't mix very well. Other than that, we're going to push forward and see what we can handle today. To see if possibly we can make things happen for another day. Wouldn't that be great if we could? Let's see here. What have I done to myself? Oh, that's what I did. I hid my material for myself. That's what I did. Let's go back here. It is the Thursday edition of the podcast. It's the 23rd day of April 2020. And it's an interesting day in the neighborhood. Let's just say that. It is an interesting day in our neighborhood. The political scene is bizarre. The Democrats are doing what they always do, which is lying and deceiving and causing issues with everyone. They are trying to convince the public of things that are just not so, not true, not at all, not whatsoever, but they will continue to try. And what else? They're basically hoping that they can extend this fear of a pandemic up until election time, so they can sway an election. And that is basically my take on how things are happening. That is why you keep seeing rumblings. You keep seeing they're floating these trial balloons out there about voting by mail. They want people to stay scared. They want people to stay unsettled. They want people to think, wow, things are really bad. Not going to get better. We better be prepared to vote by mail. When voting by mail is fraught with issues, we've had stories in the last couple of weeks where we've learned that boxes of ballots were found well after an election was already decided. And this happens every time, every single election. If you'll think about it, there are stories every election cycle which tell us that there have been votes lost. Somehow, somewhere, somebody discovered another whole box of them, conveniently or inconveniently, whichever way. And those votes, or the lack of those votes, always tends to benefit one party. Have you noticed? It always seems to go that way. It's the party who always declares, oh, there's no such thing as vote fraud. That's just ridiculous. That's just something Republicans say when they can't win an election. Well, I wish you were more clever, but you're not. It's a reality. There has always been vote fraud. And the Democrats are always the ones who benefit from it. And they are always the first to deny it rather loudly. So that's why things are happening the way they are. At least that's how I see it. I think that one political party is seeking advantage over the other political party, and they want this virus issue to keep moving forward. They want to keep people frightened. They want to, here's one example. Masks. They keep talking about masks and testing. They're trying to convince you that unless we have X amount of testing, it's not safe to go back out in public anymore. And really, nothing could be further from the truth. The testing is not going to protect you or not protect you. The testing is just for data, for information. We're already seeing, and they will say, oh, it's anecdotal. We're already seeing that there are people who most likely have already had the coronavirus, they're over it, and they're still functioning, and they never really suffered seriously for it. We already know that the people who have suffered seriously for it had underlying issues. Obesity, high blood pressure, advanced age, things like that. Those people have had issues. Also, other health-related issues, which combined with the coronavirus, made them much more susceptible. But the fear must be kept alive. And so, they're talking about testing. Oh no, we need more testing. Oh, this is just this unwise. It's reckless. It's endangering the public if we don't have more testing. Really? Really? Can you please provide actual proof of that? Aside from your projections and computer models, which are based on assumptions? And then there's the masks. The mask has become the symbol of the coronavirus, and as such, has become the symbol of public fear. And politicians, progressive politicians, love a good case of public fear, because when the public is afraid, the politicians can climb out of their little underground burrows and say, "I'm here for you, I'm your hero, I will help." And that's exactly what's going on. They're saying, "We want to be here to help you, but Orange Man Bad, he wants everybody to die. He wants everybody to go back to work so everybody can get sick again. But we're here to help you." And that is what's happening. This is all leading up to November. It's all stacking up in one direction towards November. The Democrats know that if they can succeed in destroying the economy that recovered under Donald Trump, and if they can paint him in the minds of those who are gullible and believe anything they will say as an idiot who is endangering the lives of Americans, that they can sway more votes and they can sway public opinion. Not necessarily all public opinion, but enough. And they're already swaying the opinion of Democrat governors across the country, Democrat attorneys general across the country, Democrats in office state by state by state are already lining up in agreement, for the most part, with the DNC in saying we need to find some other way to vote. When our president is saying, no, we need to vote in person and we need to have voter ID to secure the vote, to make sure it's honest and fair to the people of the United States and not undermined by some kind of scheme, which is exactly what happens when you have vote by mail. Please remember, every time there's been a vote by mail, absentee ballots, things like that, there's always issues. There are always problems. There are always votes left on the side. There are always people unrepresented and misrepresented every time the mail system is used to carry votes. The same is true for vote harvesting, because vote harvesting, those people can take things to very, very strange extremes, and we have seen case after case of it in this country. Voting must be done in person. Voting must be done with an identification so that we know who is voting and that they are not voting illegally. That's not paranoia. That's experience. And the Democrats want us to shift everything over so that we can have a system in place so that nationwide people can send in their vote by mail. Because mailed-in votes can be manipulated. They can be lost. They can be shuffled to one side. And we've seen it happen again and again, as I've said, in this country. And that is what's driving these people to cheer this virus on. They refuse to admit that we can make progress. They refuse to admit that Sweden has proven that herd immunity is a possibility. And we're seeing examples of it actually here in the United States of America. Because it looks like, in some places, specifically the West Coast, COVID-19, the coronavirus, hit them early on, and a lot of people got sick and got over it, and all we've heard about is the extreme cases that resulted in death. But now we're seeing that people have had it and they're okay. So I'm just looking at the lay of the land, and I'm thinking, yeah, I think herd immunity is a thing that's really happening. I think it really is occurring. I think we are seeing it going on. And yet, progressive politicians don't want us to know this because they want things to remain up in the air and unsettled, and they want fear, anxiety. They want that hanging there so that they can portray themselves as the rational, reasonable source of information and the people who are there to defend the public and to protect the public. This is why people like Joy Behar will say that those who are protesting should waive their rights to health care. They honestly believe that people who go out in public and protest, now if these were leftists protesting something of a leftist nature, she would be behind them 100%. It wouldn't matter who they were or what they were doing or if they were carrying guns or not. She would salute them for what they do. But because it's in support of rational, reasonable thought and something the president is advocating, she wants them to suffer without health care. And did you catch the fact that she said they should waive their rights to health care? To medical coverage? Rights? Health care is not a right. Health care is a service provided by professionals, something you buy, something you pay for. There is an exchange which takes place. It is not a right. It is not life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. It isn't in that vein. Healthcare is something that is your responsibility, something you must see to, just like taking care of your kids, taking care of your pets, taking care of your home, taking care of your cars. Healthcare is your responsibility. It is not the government's responsibility. It isn't a right. It is not granted by the government, and no rights are granted by the government. Rights are supposed to be protected by the government. They're something you are born with. They're natural. You have the right to life. You have the right to be free, to live in liberty. You have the right to pursue your dreams. And you have the right to do many other things as long as they don't harm other people. And they don't break laws that are in place to protect other people. Those rights are not granted to you by any government or politician. They are granted to you by God. And it is the role of the politicians to protect those rights, not to police them or to grant them to people. They don't have that power. They've never been given that power. We don't grant them that power. The Constitution doesn't give it to them. The Constitution, in fact, says over and over and over again that Congress shall not do many things. And that is to restrict the government, not restrict the people. That's what the Constitution is there for. And people like Joy Behar and the rest of the loony left don't believe that. Their ignorance is extremely profound. They don't understand that in this country, government exists to protect the rights of the people, not to lord over them, not to run their lives. People like Joy Behar and those like her are clueless. And their cluelessness is driving things forward for a lot of people in this country who wholeheartedly believe, against the grain of history and all proof and all evidence, that our nation is run by Washington, D.C. When in fact, our nation is a republic of states, sovereign states, who govern themselves. And those states seek backup from the federal government when it's necessary. And that's the extent. The federal government is there to kind of keep an eye on things to make sure everybody plays nicely together, and to see to the defense of the nation, the republic, as a whole, among a handful of other things. But it doesn't run your state. And if your state is having troubles now during this pandemic because they don't have enough of this or enough of that, it probably means your state government dropped the ball somewhere. Because your state government believed erroneously, ignorantly, stupidly, that it was the federal government's responsibility. And you should remove those people from office as soon as possible. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast, Thursday, April 23rd, 2020. Thank you so much for being there. Glad to have you along. I appreciate the fact that you're there every day. So how are things going with you? Everything good in your neighborhood? I hope things are going well for you. I hope that that you and yours are doing well and that you're holding up under this bizarre situation that we have going on right now. And speaking of bizarre situations, my computers all just went down. I mean, seriously. I was mentioning earlier, well, as you can hear music playing and the like, that computer didn't go down. My main system, the one that I refer to for everything, it's gone. Don't know what's happening here. I just don't know what happened. It's just everything freaked out and went crazy on me. The mouse doesn't work. Everything is haywire. It's just all gone. I don't know what to do. Which, does that mean? No, actually, we are, okay, we're on Facebook. We're recording. Everything is good. So, let's see. Why don't I turn that down so it doesn't go haywire? And let me, oh, there it is. Yay. Things are coming back. All right, let's see here. That's where I need to go. Is that right? Are you going to listen to me? Oh, good. I don't know why it did that. It just rebooted on me. Everything went nuts. Speaking of nuts, did you hear about this guy? There was a man. There was a man in Florida. Florida man. It's a Florida man story. There's a guy in Florida who took it upon himself. Oh, man, what is all this about? That is not what I care about. No, you can go away. That's just really weird, man. Pardon me just a moment here. Okay, you can go. That's just strange. You know, it's just strange. Oh, no. Wow. I keep closing windows and it keeps opening windows. No, you go away. You go away. Pardon me for just a moment here while I deal with some idiocy. All right. Okay. Oh, you're back. You're back. Wow. This is strange. I've never had this happen before. I promise. I promise. Let's see. Let's open. No, that's not. It's like, this is strange because it's like none of the stuff that I have opened has been open before. That's really weird. Okay, let's get the Florida man story going. Here we go. All right. As of today, New York State alone, and we talked about this yesterday, the southern part of the state, New York, the southern part of the state, they have alone more China virus deaths than the next six states combined. But New York is completely controlled by Democrats at every level of government. So what's a Democratic Party hack to do in a time of crisis? The usual. Change the subject. That's why they're all feigning concern about Georgia opening up their economy. But they don't want to talk about Colorado doing the same thing. The governor of Georgia is a Republican. Sorry, Stacey Abrams, I know you believe you are, but there's treatments for that. You should seek help. And the governor of Colorado is a Democrat. The Republican takes all the heat to distract attention from the Democrat. That's how it works. It's nothing new. But the press seems to think nobody notices this, even now. And if that assessment seems grim, just look at what the Democrats are planning in another Republican-run state that barely cracks the top 10 in virus deaths, Florida. Mm-hmm. In Florida, I'm sorry, it's not a Florida man. It's somebody going to Florida to do this. A guy named Daniel Ohlfelder. He's going to Florida to make a statement. Because, you know, Florida is opening the beaches. It's a limited opening, mornings and late afternoons, not during the middle of the day, not between 11 and 5, when a lot of people would be out there in the heat of the day to swim and sunbathe and the like. But limited times, they're opening the beaches. And of course, those who are fear-mongering and want everybody to live in abject fear of what's happening around us can't have that. Oh no, you can't go back to life as normal. You're endangering everybody. Well, Daniel Ohlfelder tweets, "Many of you have asked if I'm willing to travel around Florida wearing Grim Reaper attire to the beaches and other areas of the state opening up prematurely." Prematurely. He says prematurely. In whose estimation? The answer is absolutely yes. Beginning May 1st, we will hit the road here in state. Please retweet and spread the word. So he is a Florida man. Pardon me. We will use this, he goes on in several tweets, we will use this as a campaign to ensure people know the importance of staying home while supporting Democrats running for federal office, including Matt Gaetz' opponent, Democrat Phil Ayer, and Democrat Christy Smith running in a special election on May 12th. We will use this as a campaign to ensure people know the importance of staying home while supporting Democrats running for federal office, including Matt Gaetz and opponent Democrat Phil Ayer. Anyway, so he's got this whole thing going on where he's going to be running around the state of Florida. He's got graphics and everything. He's got this thing going on, the Florida Grim Reaper Tour, where he's going to dress as the Grim Reaper with his scythe, the black robe, tattered black robe, and even a tattered black beach umbrella to put on top of his black lifeguard stand, where he will post himself on beaches around Florida to remind people, if you go outside and breathe the air, you're going to die. Basically. He's trying to drum up campaign donations for a couple of Democrat candidates going up against a guy who's got a brain and knows what's going on and doesn't shy away from telling the truth when he's interviewed, Matt Gaetz. So go ahead and donate if you want. I mean, again, it seems pretty sick and morbid, but then I'm not a Democrat. Notice you don't see any Democrat operatives putting on Grim Reaper outfits and riding the New York City subways to warn people away, and more importantly, to raise money for themselves. That's because a person might actually catch the virus on the subway, which is much, much less likely to happen on a public beach. That's why New York has 17 times as many virus deaths as Florida. Seriously. If they thought they could get the virus by doing this, do you really think they'd be doing this? Seriously? Under the Grim Reaper costume, he's probably wearing an N95 mask. But do you think he honestly believes he has a chance of catching the virus by going to the beach in the Grim Reaper outfit? If he did, do you think he'd do it? So even he doesn't believe he's going to get sick. But he's got to make a statement. People are dying, and the party of science, wait a minute, science, is making a cynical, science-denying joke out of it. Our moral, ethical, and intellectual betters, that's the progressives, remember, they believe they are morally and intellectually superior to everyone. Our moral, ethical, and intellectual betters get to safely signal their virtue while making a spectacle of themselves. This stunt's pretty much perfect on that regard. Aye. So, it is a Florida man story, and this man is an idiot. If he expects us to believe that going to the beach, being cautious, while going to the beach, social distancing, 6 feet or more, just getting out for some fresh air, a walk on the beach, walking the dog, wading in the waves, that's gonna cause the country to die. The party of fear and lies is alive and well and operating in America today. And I just got to tell you, we just cannot allow them to have power ever again. We can't. Because if we do, we'll never get it back. Because there was a desire for 8 years and an effort which went on for 8 years to change the United States of America at its core, at its foundation, if possible, into something other than what it was founded to be. As Barack Obama and those who were around him and those who were handling him, I still believe he was just a puppet, sought to fundamentally transform the United States of America into a socialist nation. Remember, they told us that it was a lie if we were to believe that things could be back to normal again. And then President Trump came along and proved them wrong. And things spun back to where they were supposed to be.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Don't you know it? Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective, the Thursday edition. Stormy Thursday. Hang on. Oh, I'm just looking out the studio windows here. It is blustery. The trees are blowing around. It was like this a while ago, earlier this morning, and the limbs were whipping around, and everything went blink, and all of the power went down. Wasn't for very long, but it was long enough that when I walked into the studio itself, I had to restart everything, which is probably why I had the issue I had a little while ago where everything just froze up on me and went nuts, because it really wasn't recovered. That's probably the fact of the matter there. But, hey, fingers still crossed. We're halfway through. Let's see if we can make it, okay? Life's been interesting around here otherwise. I've got the... I've told you about the editing computer I was building, right? And I don't want to nerd out and lose you, but it's amazing. I was doing some editing yesterday afternoon on it. One of the things I'm trying to get happening is everything recognizing everything else across the network here. And I'm not a PC network guy. I'm a Mac guy. And Macs, if you have Macs on a network, they all see. It's like seeing family at Walmart in a distance. You wave, hey, how you doing? They all see each other and say, hey, how you? You know, and they, hey, I got this. You want some of it? And they share things with each other. And you can, for example, if you live in a home with, you know, you and your family, and you've got kids in school, high schoolers with a MacBook, mom's got a MacBook, dad's got a MacBook or an iMac or whatever. And you come across something interesting. Hey, they could use this. You can copy it and actually drag it to somebody else's computer across the network without even, you know, it's just there. You just open the little link to their computer and drop it on their desktop or wherever. And you can share things across the network. Now, Macs and Windows computers don't necessarily play nicely with one another because Windows computers are so prone to viruses. They have security consciousness out the wazoo. So if you want to be friendly across the network, you have to jump through hoops to make that happen. Well, I finally got that handled yesterday. So I was able to work on some things here at the main computer on my desk here in the studio and find things. Oh yeah, I need that. I need that. I need that. That needs to go to the edit computer and then drag it over to a folder on the edit computer and then roll my chair 6 feet over to my left. And there it is waiting for me to drop into my video editing program. It just is very convenient. Anyway, that's all coming along nicely. Plus, a new video card coming this weekend. Hopefully this weekend. It was supposed to be here either today through Monday. That was the forecast window, because Amazon Prime is Amazon, now, you know, that's how it is. It's Amazon, you'll get it whenever. But so I've got this new graphics card, a GPU, coming, because the one that I ordered and installed was incompatible with my Mac transformation process, and I didn't know it. It looked like it was, but the more digging I did, the more I realized, and the testing, and I got online with the guy who came up with a formula for doing all this stuff. So we had a chat, and he said, looks like everything in your computer is identical to the one I built except for the graphics card, so I think that's what your problem is. So here's what I have in mind. You should order this one. So I arranged a return and another one coming, and that's supposed to be here so that I can get the Mac side of things up and running. And then when that's all done, all of us talking to one another will be just like, sure, what's the problem? So there we go. Well, speaking of what's the problem, the one, the only, the fraudster himself, the multi-million dollar making environmental huckster, Mr. Al Gore himself, has endorsed Joe Biden. Yep. The former VP turned climate change alarmist said, I'm proud to endorse my friend Joe Biden for president, and I'm looking forward to our national Earth Day 50 event at 2:30 p.m. today. This was like yesterday. I think nothing says genuine concern for the Earth like endorsing a man that doesn't even know what planet he's on. Al Gore told the Associated Press, this is the clearest, most definitive choice in a national election that the United States of America has ever faced, especially for people who care about the climate. All these prominent Democrat leaders are coming out in support of Joe Biden only after all the other candidates dropped out. Now, I talked about that the other day. That does kind of make sense, because, I mean, they don't want to alienate anybody. What they want is they want everybody in the pool. Come on, let's all have fun. They want the Bernie bros. They want Pocahontas's people. They want all of those people in the same pool, and they want them all to rally behind Joe Biden. So until Joe Biden was the definitive, the default choice, the guy who's going to be the nominee, they weren't going to say anything, because they weren't going to hack anybody off. And that's why everybody's endorsing Joe now instead of before. They had to wait for these other ones to drop out and throw their support behind Joe Biden. And once that's done, all right, everybody in the pool. So an endorsement from Al Gore would actually mean more if progressives from his party even knew who he was, other than his documentary called An Inconvenient Truth that focused on climate change that's been almost completely and totally debunked. What other name recognition does he bring to the table? Progressives are mad that Biden was the face of the ticket when most were hoping for a Bernie nomination, if we're facing the truth. This endorsement is probably not going to sway voters, because the people that they're hoping to pull in, the Bernie bros, they don't know who Al Gore is. It doesn't matter who endorses Biden at this point, really. The guy's lost the cognitive ability to run the country. It's becoming more and more obvious. Associated Press also reported that Gore was adamant that, quote, if there's any person in America who cares about the climate crisis and has any doubt whatsoever about the importance of voting for Joe Biden this November, I want to emphasize to that person in as strong a way as I possibly can, this is not complicated. This is not rocket science. This is not a close call. I'm sorry, how is this not complicated? How is it not rocket science? Of course it's not rocket science. It's more like a religion. Climate change, I should say. It's more like a religion. You either believe or you don't, and if you don't believe, you're a heretic. If you believe wrongly, you're a heretic. And if you don't believe, you're a heathen. You're an idiot. You're a moron. You live in a hut in the jungle somewhere, and you don't know anything about anything. How could you possibly comment on this? You're a moron. Well, Democrats, please endorse. Please, please. Please put him on your shows. Please. If you have a podcast, a political podcast, and you're Democrat, please invite Joe Biden on. Please get him out there. If you have a show, please put him on your show. Get him all the exposure. Come on. Let's get the man. He's running for president of the United States for the Democrat Party. Let's get him on as much television as we can. Can we, please? Can we? We have to face it. You have to show the base how brilliant he is. You have to show the people of the country he's the guy. You have to show him he is who is qualified and who should be the president. Don't you see that? You have to. It's important. Hey, Al Gore's endorsed him. You got to. Barack Hussein, Barack Obama has fundamentally, he's endorsed him. You've got to. You have to. Because it saves us the time. I mean, people will actually see what an idiot he is when he's exposed. It means we can focus on important things. Sorry. By the way, did you know, hang on a second. Did you know that, Bill and Melinda Gates, speaking of the climate, back to Al Gore for a moment, billionaires because of Microsoft, that Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates, man-made climate change devotees. They're all about the man-made climate change and protecting the environment. They're all about Al Gore's religion. They are some of the most faithful. And if we're speaking in churchy terms, they are some of the biggest tithers. Did you know Bill and Melinda Gates just bought a $45 million mansion? I know. To a multi-billionaire or a billionaire. I don't know how many billions the guy's worth. I just don't know. Not off the top of my head. And I don't have time to look it up now. $45 million is pocket change. I mean, seriously. That's like $4.50 or 45 cents. It's just a billion is 1,000 million. So he just spent $45 million, which is, it's like spending $4.50 out of a hundred, right? It's pocket change. A $45 million California oceanfront home. Yes! They're joining the Obama Oceanfront Property Club. That's what they're doing. Because they believe wholeheartedly in man-made climate change. Yes, it's the end of the world as we know it. It is the end of the world as we know it. We're all going to die from climate change if we don't do something about it. Are you seeing a continuity here? Are you seeing a link? Things are looking similar. We're all going to die because of man-made climate change. We're all going to die because of the coronavirus. You need us to help you. We are the elite. We are the intelligent. We are the experts. You need us to guide you. Do you see the connection here? Well, a $45 million oceanfront home in California. I would bet it has an infinity-edged pool. You know those pools that the water runs over the edge and it looks like the water just extends off to the horizon? And they usually put them... They put them in high-rise, you know, in big buildings and cities because that looks really, really cool. And they also do it on coastal properties because it looks like the water runs off into the ocean. It's just like the water just keeps on going for infinity off into the distance. What about coastal erosion, Bill? Melinda? Isn't that a byproduct of rising sea levels because of the melting of the ice caps? Isn't the coast going to erode and eat your house? The $45 million house may be pocket change to you, but to the rest of us, that's a pile of money. Coastal erosion, man-made climate change. We're all gonna die. The seas are rising. The icebergs are melting. Don't you believe in what you're preaching, Bill? Or do you?
great googly moogly.
God bless America.
Yes, indeedy do. Welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Good to have you along. Thank you for being there. I mean, if it weren't for you, I'd just be talking to the dog. In fact, my wife bought me a t-shirt for Christmas that says, I'm only talking to my dog today. She knows my life. Oh my gosh, people in government are so weird. I mean, we go from people like Al Gore and Joe Biden, these people who believe they are the elite, they are the experts, they are the illiterati. These are the people who believe that they are the key to America's survival. And we have them at all levels of government. We have people who are becoming little tyrants everywhere. These people who, because they are progressives, believe that they can quickly lose sight of the fact that their pay, which they're still getting, by the way, they still make a living when so many, 22 million people are out of work in America. These politicians believe, in spite of the fact that they are paid out of money, which is taken from the American people by force, by the force of law. And if you don't pay your taxes, find out what happens. The force of law will come to your door. And if you insist on then not paying your taxes, the force of law will point guns at you. If you don't think it's by force, give it a shot. See what happens. But you better have a friend who's a good lawyer. A really, really good lawyer. They forget that they're paid from funds which are taken from force by force from us. And the fact that they work for us. We essentially, at election time, hire them to do a job. Yeah, we like your qualifications. We think you'll fit the position nicely. Go ahead. Get the job done. I'll be back to check on you in 4 years. And that's kind of how things go in the United States. We hire somebody to do a job. We trust them to get the job done. And when it comes time for their performance review 4 years later, the vast majority of Americans go, hey, he seems to be doing okay. Click. And they vote for him again, whether or not they really are doing the job. Because many Americans don't bother to check. They get their information from the NBC Evening News or CNN or someplace like that. And they're not going to give them the whole picture. Takes too much time. That would bore so many people. And people would tune out and they couldn't charge as much money for their ads. So they give you information in tiny little snippets that is not the whole story and is more often than not slanted one direction politically. So we keep reelecting these people, I say we, as Americans, because we're not paying attention to what's going on, and they keep serving in office without really serving, but by looking down on us like we're idiots, and we need them. The latest example? New York Governor Mario Cuomo. He had his little Nancy Pelosi let them eat ice cream moment in a press conference yesterday. He demonstrated his callous disregard for all the suffering that is a byproduct of the economic shutdown. His exchange with a reporter is, I would say, difficult to believe, but it's one of those things that makes you shake your head and say, yep, he's a progressive. He brushed aside financial suffering, emotional suffering, domestic violence, and suicide, all of it. A reporter was talking to him in this news conference and asked and said, there are protesters outside right now honking their horns and raising signs. We did speak to a few of them before we came in, and these are regular people who are not getting a paycheck. Some of them are not getting their unemployment check. And they're saying they don't have time to wait for all this testing because, after all, America must be tested in order to be sure we can be safe and that everyone won't die. They don't have time to wait for all of this testing, and they need to get back to work in order to feed their families. Their savings are running out. They don't have another week. They're not getting answers. So their point is, the cure can't be worse than the illness itself. So what's your response to that? Governor Cuomo, the illness is death. What's worse than that? Did you catch that? The illness is death. Remember, he is saying the illness is death. Because I'm going to come back to some stats in a minute. Yeah, I know stats. The reporter says, what if somebody commits suicide because they can't pay their bills? Governor Cuomo responds, yeah, but the illness may be death as opposed to your death. You said said the cure is worse than the illness. The illness is death. How can the cure be worse than the illness if the illness is potential death? The reporter responds, what if the economy's failing? Cuomo responds, worse than death? Reporter, equals death? Cuomo says, no, it doesn't. It doesn't equal death. Economic hardship, yes, very bad. Not death. Emotional stress from being locked in a house, very bad. Not death. Domestic violence on the increase, very bad. Not death. And not death of someone else. See, that's what we have to factor into this equation. Yeah, it's your life. Do whatever you want. But now you're now responsible for my life. You have a responsibility to me. It's not just about you. You have a responsibility to me, right? We started saying, it's not about me, it's about we. Get your head around the concept, around the we concept. It's not about you, it's about me too. It's about we. Okay. So, Mario Cuomo participates in a bit of fear-mongering, which progressives love. They love to fear-monger. They love to keep people scared, as I've said, because keeping them scared keeps them dependent. Coronavirus does not equal death. It just doesn't. If you're under the age of 60, without underlying health conditions, there is a very, very tiny chance you could die. The overall death rate is starting to look to be more around a tenth of a percent, maybe half of a percent, 0.1 to 0.6. That is far off the earlier predictions of 3.5% or higher. And Governor Cuomo needs to know this. Domestic violence does, sadly, sometimes result in death. Cuomo is trying to guilt people, because that is a classic progressive leftist liberal ploy. Guilt people who are concerned about housing and food for their families by saying it's not all about them. I have to think about everything. It's the community. It's communal. It's the collective. The collective. He makes it an either-or black and white proposition, and nothing like this ever is. He fails to appreciate that there is a way in which we can allow people back to work and take steps to keep the vulnerable protected. Desiring to work and feed your families is not selfish. It is survival. And again, Cuomo's brushing off economic hardship. Domestic violence is valid concerns. Aren't Democrats like Cuomo always defending illegal immigration in sanctuary cities on the basis that some people are fleeing domestic violence or economic suffering? That's strange. Why? If it's not worse than death, it's fine, apparently. The man has a lot of nerve. As the exchange went on, he actually said, I understand the economic hardship. We all feel it. We all feel it? Listen, Cuomo doesn't feel any economic impact from the shutdown. He's getting his paycheck. He has no worries about his job. Unless the people of the state of New York wake up and realize what a tyrant this man actually is. And as things wrapped up, the reporter said, is there a fundamental right to work if the government can't get me the money when I need it? General Cuomo. He should be wearing the uniform, you know, making people salute him. He answered, you want to go to work? Go take a job as an essential worker. Do it tomorrow. So he wants people to put on the Diglo vest and go direct traffic on the streets, or put out cones, or what is it? Does he mean they should be a hospital worker? Maybe they should go get a medical degree tonight and then go tomorrow to work at a hospital. Is that what he means? This is tyranny, my friends. This is progressivism. This is the mentality of the left. And that mentality is tyranny. Never forget it. And if you are a friend who's listening in New York, get rid of this guy come election time. And I'm going to get out of here. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Friday edition of the podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.